Good afternoon. Welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I don't know if in your backyard, but here it is definitely windy. And I know that wind is kind of the key word to the upper Midwest today. And so a lot of planters might be sitting idle in order to keep the topsoil where it needs to be. We're going to talk a little bit about this WASDE report that came out today. Kind of look at what some factors in it, including why did the USDA take a pass on South America? We're also going to take a look at what's going on with inflation. How is that going to weigh in, especially when you look at the livestock side and movement across the meat counter? Mike Zuzulo joins us today. Mike, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics. And this WASDE report just kind of, it made a flash, but not as much chatter as we've seen in some of these past reports. But there's some interesting components of it, including your thoughts on why they took a pass on South America this time.
It's really hard to give a good answer on that because USDA really didn't change anything except taking Argentina's corn production down a million metric tons. And it was interesting because just as we were getting ready to go on the air, Susan, the Buenos Aires Grains Exchange came in and lowered their corn estimate for Argentina down to 51 million metric tons. Earlier, we had seen another exchange go down to 50.5. Yes, USDA took it down today, but they kept it at 55 million metric tons. And maybe even more surprising was the fact that the Brazilian number was not changed at all in corn. You could probably say that USDA didn't need to change it this month in corn, but then with 80% harvested in soybeans, why didn't they come closer to the private estimates down in South America, in Brazil proper? And so this leaves us really dangling and really hanging. And in the post-report environment, my big question coming in to this week's trade with the report and with a lot of inflation data coming out, both here in the United States and also in China before today's report was, and what I really wanted to focus on for clients and subscribers was, and especially in light of the hotter CPI data that we got yesterday, was, okay, will the report, the WASDE report, tighten the supplies up enough to shake those managed money funds out of their very big net short position? We have to realize they're still net short over 259,000 contracts of corn futures and options, 138,000 contracts soybeans, and 91,000 plus contracts net short of soft red wheat futures and options. The report did not do that, did not make them feel a nervousness because I think mostly of the South American crop. And then you throw on top of that the soybean ending stocks here domestically going up by 25 million bushels. That's an 8% increase. We're now sitting at 340 million bushels ending stocks on a export number decline today. And this coming into May, where we'll get the brand new 24-25 ending stocks numbers next month. And so when I looked at that, it kind of confirmed to me that the soybeans were still the leader to the downside, especially when you integrate back into the fact that South America is probably a lot lighter or a lot tighter in production on corn than they are soybeans at this point.
So, and I've read not only in your newsletter, but in a couple other commentaries about the fact that China's doing more cancellations. This time, Ukraine is one of the countries.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those situations where the sources that are reporting these latest cancellations of Chinese purchases out of Ukraine said that the warehouses are full and that the Chinese don't need it. I think maybe that's partially true, but I also think that the trade relationship between the United States and China has worsened in the last 30 to 60 days. It was improving after the big meeting between the two presidents in California. I believe that was back in late early January, if memory serves me, and it seemed like we got back on track a little bit more, but now we're starting to go sideways again, and there's more tariff and barrier issues that we're starting to hear about in the news. And so I think this is an element, this is the key element that we're going to have to face on the demand side in 2024. And hopefully we won't have to talk about the avian influenza in the poultry flock or the dairy herd, herd at all at this stage of the game, that goes away. But the demand issue with China, especially when it comes to U.S. soybeans, I think, is what makes me the most nervous about the downside potential in the soy complex. Because if the Chinese do really take 105 million metric tons of beans in the 23-24 marketing year, like USDA says they will, I think most of that increase will come from other areas, Russia, Brazil, maybe even Argentina, and maybe even Paraguay, probably not from the United States because of the frictions that we have in our trade relationship. And so I'm still of the view, and I've had this view probably since the end of last year, that given the world wheat stocks, the use ratios declining again today versus last month and still at a 10-year low, and given the U.S. corn export push that's up, what, 35% year-to-date, in expectations, I think the feed grains are the ones that need to really find stability here, find the support here, and help stabilize the soybean prices here at this 1160 area, both in old crop and new crop. If they can't do that, then I'm very nervous about a whole nother leg down in the soybean complex as we get deeper into the planting season and get maybe a month down the road here.
And I know that we're going to run out of time here quick, but weather-wise, that's going to put a big influence on what we see and how this wheat market moves as they either get the rain they need or not.
Yeah, and it really should. And I'll say very briefly, one of the things that's really working well right now is USDA took the feed number down in wheat, took the feed number up in corn, didn't touch the exports in corn, so there's more room for movement on the downside in terms of corn ending stocks shrinking because of our export pace. But it's nice to see the wheat to corn relationship on the feed. It says the feed side of the equation, the wheat corn spread, is working and that the feed is going back into the corn.
All right, well, stick around, folks. More is coming up. It's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
When you're a farmer, tomorrow always brings a new challenge. Unexpected weather, invasive pests, volatile markets, the list goes on. But with the enhanced Channel Seed brand's top-performing products, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can rise to meet them all. Channel Seed, let's rise to the challenge. And catch our new Channel Nebraska podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. As our conversation does continue with Mike Zuzlo with Global Commodity Analytics, let's talk inflation because, you know, the CPI numbers came out earlier this week. We know that they've been talked about in the marketplace, but there is that concern from a consumer perspective of how that's going to affect the bottom line of their pocketbooks.
Yeah, this is a big deal because we're going into summer grilling season, and that's where the inflation higher for longer mindset is getting to be more of a fact than an opinion, Susan. And what I mean by that is the fact that we are staying so high at 3.5%+ in year over year consumer price index, and food being up there as well, and gasoline and energy prices, especially electricity prices, going even higher in terms of the rate of increase. That higher for longer inflation means, in my view, a higher for longer interest rate, which means that the consumer is going to struggle more and more with being able to pay the bills, and the governments of the world are going to struggle more and more with getting their debt under control. And I think this is where the Federal Reserve probably now is hamstrung and kind of trapped to be able to cut rates in case we would have a recessionary pressure build up here and on this debt that we're dealing with because of this inflation. And so it's what you call a negative feedback loop at this stage, that it's going to create more inflation. They may even have to raise interest rates, and that then we'll have to factor in the idea that we could even slow the economy down too much at that point and really force a recession upon us. And the other thing I think we have to talk about, because of the Black Sea, you know, a lot happened in the Black Sea over the last 24 hours. One of the major ports right outside of Odessa has been shut down. We don't know for how long, but some over there are saying that their grain exports are going to be limited dramatically the rest of the month of April because Russian attacks on energy infrastructure. And then we go over to the Middle East and we're talking about Iran and Israel coming into potentially a full-blown conflict. That geopolitical issue, if those energy prices during the summer driving season take hold and energy prices go higher, given the CPI data and given the Fed being kind of trapped at this stage, it really does increase the chance of recession. So we're really kind of dancing on the head of a needle right now between the stock market, the inflation, and the HPAI, quite honestly, because that dairy herd, we have to remember that the dairy slaughter is 10 to 15% of our beef production. And that's something that we just have to keep an eye on.
All right, you brought it up, and I know you and I were talking about it in the break. You made the comment during the first half about HPAI, the latest place had been found in North Carolina. And as you were talking, I get a news release coming from the South Dakota Department of Agriculture, where now it's been detected in a dairy herd there. And it just seems like this is going to continue to spread. It's going to continue to cause some concerns. But again, it sounds like, late-stage lactating cows from this herd.
Yeah, and I think this is where the more it gets in the news and the more it spreads, the more we're going to talk about it in the news. And again, talk about a negative feedback loop again in this one situation, this one story. I think what we have to really look at is, and I was doing some calculations on the back of an envelope today, and you know, you buy 650 to 750 feeders right now for, you know, 260 to 267. You market them as fats in October. You're talking about getting 173 off the October board right now, and that's 200 to 220 bucks loss per head at this stage of the game. And so we're already in the red because of what's happened. What I'm nervous about, what I've continued to be nervous about, is a 2014, 2015 type look in this market, because the funds are net long. And so if we take out last Friday's lows, I think you really want to think about getting some floors underneath you so that the amount of red that you incur is cut short. In other words, you try and prevent from getting worse than where we are already, because it goes back to the funds versus the fundamentals, how the funds trade and how they look at the fundamentals versus how the supply demand fundamentals look. And we know the cash market is much stronger than the futures right now, but at this point, with HPAI and this new news coming out of South Dakota, right there in the heart of the cattle country, we just really don't want to mess with new lows against last Friday's lows.
Well, we've got about 30 seconds. WASDE report from a livestock perspective. What was your thoughts?
Well, we were going to talk about some really good stuff, Susan, before that news broke.
Darn it.
We really did see a $2 increase in hogs and steer prices today versus last month. So we got up to 185 on the steer prices for 2024. We saw production increases in both beef and pork, but we also saw export increases, and per capita disappearance went up versus last month. So good numbers all the way around, with good weekly export sales to boot.
All right. Best way for folks to get a hold of you, Mike?
Best way is to go to globalcomresearch.com. That's globalcom with two M's, research.com, especially given some of the stuff we've been talking about. If you need to talk one-on-one, please fill out the free trial and put a little comment in there and request a phone call.
All right. Great information today. Mike Zuzulo joining us today. Of course, a quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's been the Channel Final Bell, brought to you by Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional on the Rural Radio Network.